Shadows are dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling freaky and deaky. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just as good as could be expected. We're halfway. After the show, we'll be officially halfway through the summer, Uncle Bill. Does it feel like it's...
Holy shit.
It's gone by that quickly? Holy shit.
No, it's hard to believe, but it's been nice. It's either been 90 degrees or raining every day, so that's been fun.
Very warm, very humid out there. I've been working on my tanned head all summer, and we'll have fun again tonight, man. Hopefully it'll be a lot more fun than last week, because last week was kind of like, that probably wasn't a good idea.
That was fine.
Yeah. I mean, it was good for a one-off, but we're getting into the classics this week when it comes to the 80s era slasher movies. We got one late 70s, one early 80s. That's kind of like the golden era of slasher films from that period. So I'm excited about those two.
I'm just going to tell you, too, right off the bat, that I love both of these movies for completely different reasons, but like... In their own weird subgenre of whatever they are, they're both kind of classics, I think.
For sure. And the odd thing is, unless my search engine's not working right, I don't think that we've ever done any sort of deep dive reviews on either of these movies, if I'm not mistaken.
That's hard to believe, man.
So that is weird. Like, I wonder how, you know, in 20 plus years, I mean... I don't know. Well, I don't think we ever reviewed either of these movies in detail or anything, but tonight is going to change that. I'm excited. We're talking about Tourist Trap and Pieces here in a little bit, but we do have a chat room full of people. We'll do some shout outs for a few minutes here. We got Ken Carlson, one of the old school supporters from back in the day. Hey, boss. Give me both Pieces and Tourist Trap in 4K. Pieces is definitely coming from Grindhouse after Cannibal Holocaust. Yeah, I'm sure Pieces is coming. Grindhouse releasing takes their sweet time, though, so it could be 4 or 5 years or longer.
That's true.
Antonis is in the house. Adam, what's going on? Spirit Crusher. He says, damn, both these movies are like Citizen Kane.
That's true.
Compared to last week. I agree. Vanderhoff says another great matchup. Adam is asking, Pieces has that asshole from Popeye, right? Yep. With his
Paul Smith, Bulls.
Yeah, Paul L. Smith with his very menacing looking.
Looks like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, it looks like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Tough guy.
Air Bear is in here. He says, I love both of these. I'm excited as fuck for this one. Beyond Sour Ground, two absolute classics tonight. Reese's Pieces should have sponsored Pieces. Well, it's the same year, right? 1982. Nubbins is in here. The blackest painter the world has ever known. He loves these movies. So Tourist Trap is a masterpiece. And Pieces is great, goofy fun. Dino Jazz is in here. Justin Smith. Well, we're always a little bit late. Have we ever been on time doing these shows? And people are still like, but it is just.
It's mostly just him. Yeah. Everybody else knows.
Dread and Terror is in here. William Driver. Manny Gatillo. Welcome, sir. The Witch Hunter. Yeah, man. A lot of fun stuff to talk about tonight. Super chat from Anthony. Appreciate it, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Good to see you.
We got to play him something here. I've got this.
You don't need to hear things like that. You just a boy.
And another one. Oh, Motionless Zombie with $5 Super Chat. Hey, fellas, hear me out. Would y'all like to see Clive Barker direct the new Elm Street movie? Clive Barker's he's in poor health, right? I don't think he's able to really do a whole lot. He can barely do conventions.
Let's just assume it was Clive Barker from like the 80s. Would you want to see him do like an Elm Street movie?
Sure.
I think, yeah, that would definitely be something different than what they're going to end up doing, which is getting somebody that, you know, probably from YouTube to do it.
Can't wait for the positive reviews it's contained. Well, it will be positive reviews on this week's show for sure.
Yeah.
Clive Barker, though, to be fair, he's been near death for like decades. So I don't know. I don't know if he just regenerates or something, or what does he have? A couple of
regenerates. Yeah. He just goes in like a cocoon and then comes back out every year.
He needs to feast on some, fetuses or something, and he'll come back.
Yeah. Clive Barker's a cicada. He just goes underground.
Clive has been, we wish him the best, but Clive has been in rough shape for a long, long time. I don't know what's going on with him. He kind of keeps that. But, you know, if he was in good health, sure. I would let any classic genre, filmmaker tackle it before McG or somebody like that.
Yeah.
McDLT or McG, either one of those guys.
I do want to like go back to this comment real quick because I 100% agree with this. Something that Beyond Sour Ground said earlier. He said, it's a damn shame Charlie Band won't license Tourist Trap out to someone who actually knows what they're doing. I've got like every version of this movie that they've done from Full Moon, and they all suck. Like, they're all not good. There was like a recent one that was like the uncut version and all this and that. It's like, it's still...
This is the one, there's parts of it that look okay, but yeah, there's other parts of it that look really awful. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing.
Have you ever gotten anything from them that actually looked really good? Full Moon, I mean.
This is like one of the only Full Moon movies that I have at all, because I hate Full Moon. But it's the only way to get this movie. So, I may have the Puppet Master box set on DVD. But I'm not a Full Moon fan, so.
On the other hand, many of those. On the other hand, this looks insane. Like, this is the Blu-ray that Grindhouse did, and that looks like it was just released yesterday, man. Like, you couldn't have done a better job.
And we'll talk about the physical media releases of both of these too, because it's an interesting story with Pieces as well that not a lot of people talk about that sort of thing. So. We'll touch on that as well. But if we're doing these chronologically, we should probably go ahead and get started with Tourist Trap from 1979, Uncle Bill. This is an interesting movie, man, because David Schmoller, who I think it, he had said in an interview that they were trying their best to get John Carpenter to direct this movie originally. And he would, evidently he wouldn't do it. This was after Halloween, right? So this was 79. And some interesting choices for Tourist Trap. But I think initially they were going for, like, this was hot off Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they were really, really wanting to do something along those lines. And they I think they kind of succeeded with this one.
Yeah, it's pretty much as close as you can get to a movie being as unhinged as, like, Texas Chainsaw. I mean, it doesn't have the same feel or the same realism, but it has so much just crazy, off-the-wall stuff that you feel like that you're, like, on drugs when you're watching it. Like, you don't feel like it's – you don't feel like it was made by a sane person. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, so – you know, this was for Charles Band. He was one of the producers on this. And Schmoller would later on go on to do some other stuff, like I think Puppet Master, the very first Puppet Master movie, Netherworld, and a bunch of other stuff, I think. I'm not a big Full Moon guy, but this was, like, I guess the beginning with his relationship with Charlie Band.
I think he did Crawl Space with Kinski too. And, like, there's a whole, he does a whole essay about how crazy it was to work with Klaus Kinski and, like, how much of a maniac he was on set. And, like, he almost quit, not him. I mean, Schmoller almost quit and, like, almost, like, beat the shit out of it. Like, there's all of this stuff.
I think that's on the, didn't they do a Blu-ray of that not too long ago or something, or somebody did. And that's a special feature on it.
I think it was Vinegar Syndrome that did that.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but I think so.
But anyway, digging into Tourist Trap, I mean, the plot of this one's very basic. I mean, a group of friends get broke down in the middle of nowhere in a desert, and they stumble across, like, this old tourist trap, you know, as the name of the movie, which is run by Chuck Connors, boys, the rifleman himself. One of my favorite actors in old Western era and stuff. Just a great character actor. And this is one of the more interesting roles this guy's ever had. But anyway, we get the kind of the idea that the tourist trap is kind of like haunted or something too, right? They're not really telling you exactly what's going on at first, but it's what was his name in this? Mr. Slauson. Old man Slauson, his brother, Davey, is who you think is killing these people, who's after these girls and turn them into, you know, wax figures and stuff. And I don't know, it just kind of goes from there, man. It's a great atmosphere in this one. And Tanya Roberts in this, I'm a big fan of. Like, I could just watch her. Like, outtakes from Tanya Roberts in this movie. But I think this was one of her very early roles, too.
Yeah, I mean, she's insane looking in this movie as well. The score to this movie, for some reason, reminds me of, like, Doink's theme when he's fucking bad Doink. It's great because it kind of works that way, too. Like, the score is Pino Donaggio, by the way, who's done, like, a lot of great scores, but it's just, like, the beginning of it's like a circus kind of thing where it's like,
you know, right. They're hawking and goes, horns and shit.
Yeah. And then it turns, like, he gets on the keyboard and it turns, like, really kind of dark and brooding. Like, as it goes. So it's like the combination, and the movie is kind of a combination of those things too. It's like really kind of campy weirdness mixed with, like, when it gets scary, it really gets fucking scary. Like, it doesn't mess around in that area when it's time to do that too.
Yeah. And the killer in this is pretty creepy looking too. It does have that Leatherface look to it. I always felt that the killer in this, which I mean, I guess we can kind of talk about it. If you haven't seen it by now, fuck, what are you going to do? So, I mean, yeah. Chuck Connors is the, you know, there's only one bad guy in this. He's dressed up as the character. He's playing his brother, and he's, I guess the whole plot, they kind of got the plot a little bit from Psycho as well, because
yeah,
he has this whole spiel where, you know, they used to make money at the tourist trap, and then they closed, you know, they opened the big highway up that kind of goes around it, and nobody visits him anymore. And his, I think he had the whole thing about his wife passing away, and he's there with just him and Davey, his brother, across the street and everything.
Right. So, yeah, they, when he, there's this big monologue that he does about all that when all the girls are in there kind of waiting around in his store. And he's talking about his wife and all this. And then you come back to that later in the movie. He's, and he talks about how he actually killed his wife, and because she was cheating on him, like killed the person that she was cheating on him with too.
Which, well, yeah.
She's, what?
That's his brother.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, we're not, there's going to be spoilers, dude. This movie's like fucking 40 some years.
Right, that's what I was saying. I mean, the whole goal of this show, we give you the movies the week before, you guys watch them, and we all talk about them. Fun. Yeah,
so, but the beginning of this movie, when I first watched it, the first time I ever watched it, like I knew I was in for something completely like different, because the beginning of it is the guy who's, you know, rolling the tire, and he, as the car breaks down, and he goes over and tries to find him. He gets into the house, and then like all these mannequins come out of nowhere, and their mouths are opening up, and it's one of the most unnerving scenes because of the way that it's shot. It's just all these crazy ass looking mannequins who are kind of screaming at him, and shit's flying across the room like poltergeist or something at him and stuff. And you don't know what the hell's going on. I think that's what makes it so engaging when it first starts. And then the introduction of Chuck Connors, who you would never in a million years think would be good in a movie like this. And he's playing it for the most part, like totally straight too. And it's a really, really good performance. Like I don't know. I would have never thought it would be.
Yeah. I mean, his performance, I always thought he was an amazing actor anyway in this. So he was, Chuck Connors originally, though, was like a baseball player. I think he's from New York. He played for...
He's huge. I don't know how tall he is, man, but you can tell in this that he's a huge dude.
Yeah. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. So that tells you how long ago that was. It was like in the 40s or something. And then he just became an actor. The story about... I don't think he ever went to any sort of acting school or anything. He just kind of caught on and started doing these Westerns and stuff. But I think Tourist Trap is one of the more interesting roles that he ever did, because it was just totally out there. Just a different, but it's believable for sure. And he like you were saying, he plays it straight pretty much the entire time. And most of the other cast in this movie, I thought, did a pretty good job as well. I'm not super familiar with most of them, but I think the leading, the blonde girl, she had been in other stuff before.
She was really good. I've just got like the list here. I don't know like who's who, to be honest with you. Robin Sherwood is in this, as is Jocelyn Jones.
I think Jocelyn Jones was the lead, was the blonde girl. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the weird part, well, one of the weird parts about this movie is there's some sort of supernatural element to the movie that they don't ever talk about or recognize.
Yeah.
Other than one scene where he's like, I've always been able to do this. That's kind of like the Jigsaw voice, but I can't do his voice. But like, you know what I mean? He's like, I've always been able to do this. My brother like knew about it. Talking about like psychic. He can move things around and stuff like that. And so when the mannequins come out and shit, like they're like moving by some unseen presence. And
yeah, they don't touch on that enough, I don't think.
No, they never explain any of that.
I almost think it would have been more interesting had, because it was like not really a supernatural element. It ends up being that he had like telekinesis or whatever, but they don't touch on that at all, really, other than that first scene and then the other scene that you were talking about in this. But overall, though, man, like the movie does have a creepy, uneasy feel pretty much from the very beginning. It's shot very similar to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You could totally tell that that's what he was going for with this movie. He wanted to make something along those lines. And I got to admit, I think all those movies around that time period, I think that they probably came the closest to getting that sort of, you know, cult, low budget grindhouse, you know, style to it that kind of matched what Texas Chainsaw did a few years before this.
Well, the version that I saw was just on like fucking Tubi, so it looked about as grindhouse as you could possibly imagine too, which actually helped.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, the location of it, too, helped a lot. Because most of it is filmed around this old rundown, like, store, or whatever you want to say that is. And, like, it's called his Oasis or something like that, which is partially, isn't it, partially like a wax museum?
Yeah.
Supposedly, too.
Yeah, and he has some of the wax figures have guns and shit. And that kind of comes into play towards the end of the movie as well. This is a really interesting little movie, and like someone was saying earlier, I think it sucks that Full Moon has never really licensed this out to get like a proper edition done, because I have the Blu-ray, which a lot of people put the Blu-ray over, have it somewhere here.
Yeah.
But even this, to me, it's like it was half-assed, really. I could totally see Severin or Vinegar Syndrome or one of those companies doing a way better job on this. But hey, this is better than nothing, I guess. But I think this was the uncut version on here. But to be honest, it was not, there wasn't enough, as far as like graphic death scenes and stuff, there's not a lot of that in this, I don't think.
No, but I'll tell you this right now. There's a lot of graphic death scenes in Pieces, but the most memorable, like in terms of just horrifying one, is actually in Tourist Trap. Because like I said, when this movie like decides to get scary, it's actually really scary. So it's the one where he's got her laying out on the table and he just starts putting plaster and shit on her face. And he's talking to her the entire time. And he's like, you know, you won't die like right away. Your heart will burst with fright before that happens. And then he's talking about how the plaster hardens around her face. And that's what happens. Like he covers her nose up and they do all of this like in like one continuous thing where they're just putting plaster. It's probably really not plaster, but over her face until it covers her entire face and she just dies. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah,
he says something about, you're not going to suffocate first. Your heart will bust or something like that from fright. And I was like, damn.
And like, that to me is more horrifying than any of the, you know, chainsaw deaths and things like that were in Pieces.
This is an interesting one too. And I was going to ask you about this too, because the remake of House of Wax does seem to be more of a remake of Tourist Trap than House of Wax. Yeah. What do you think of that? You agree with that?
100% believe that. Yeah. Yeah. It's most of the stuff from Tourist Trap seems like it was almost directly lifted and put in that House of Wax.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you thought this too, man, but the fucking gyrating mannequins and stuff like that, just they'll just show up out of nowhere in certain scenes and just be like gyrating and their mouths open up, and it's just so freaking weird.
Yeah, and I'm not big on like the wax museums and stuff too. Like I think that's odd anyway. Like I've always been a little bit creeped out by that for some reason. And then with this, where he kind of hints that his victims are the wax figures.
Yeah.
You know, then, and they didn't really touch a whole lot on that, but you also had the scenes where you can see the eyes moving in the mannequins, and they never really explained that either, what that was, but I kind of like that aspect. I mean, you don't have to know every fucking thing under the sun that happens in the movies, but,
no, I don't think there's any way to know everything that happens in this movie, like to really, but no. I thought probably my favorite part of the movie overall was the scene at the end. And I'd forgotten this scene was in there, man. It'd been so long since I'd seen it, where Jerry, who's like the friend of the girls or whatever, who's constantly running around, like it's a weird subplot. He's just, he runs around, gets his ass kicked by, you know, Slauson, keeps coming back into it and keeps getting his ass kicked. Anyway, at the main end where he like comes out and you think Tonya Roberts is going to like run to him, and it just, Chuck Carnes just walks over there and pulls his arm off and his fucking head and everything. He's a robot.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck? It was amazing.
Yeah. But this is a classic, man, for real. Like, this is one of those that I know that we haven't really talked about it a whole lot on the show over the years. And it's I think it's one that doesn't really get talked about very much. And I don't know why that is. I mean, maybe it's the full moon thing where, look, if you want to get this movie, you've got to get it from full moon. And maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Why do you think it is?
What? That there's not that really a decent version?
That it's not super, like, well-known. Like, I don't think a lot of people talk about it. Yeah.
Because it's so bizarre. Like, I don't know how many people would actually, like, really get into this movie. I mean, it's not like Scream or Halloween or something that's, like, easy to kind of follow. Like, you really have to expand your mind to appreciate this movie, because there's a lot of campy and crazy shit that happens in it, but it's also really like unsettling, to say the least.
It's really well done too. I mean, it's a low budget movie that's made very well. I can remember I was watching it again yesterday, day before, something like that. And Sarah had seen it with me probably 6 or 7 years ago, whenever we watched it, and she was like, yeah, we've seen this before, this one's pretty good, right? And I was like, she remembers it. So
even the stuff in it that's kind of supposed to be funny, I feel like, is kind of unnerving to me, because like there's a scene where he's running through the forest chasing her, and like he's got the head and he's like, you see my friend, little girl, and like the fucking mouth's opening up and screaming, and he's just chasing her with his mannequin head that's like screaming at her. He's like, wait, little girl, wait. And the head screams. I'm like, dude, like, I know that's not really probably supposed to be taken seriously, but that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of terrifying in this movie too. And the pacing of it, David Schmoller, I think he did a fantastic job with this. The look of the movie, Chuck Connors' casting, I couldn't imagine anybody else pulling that off at all.
Yeah, and I think another part of this movie too is, like, you know how people were terrified of clowns and stuff because there's something about clowns that's just kind of unnerving to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think like this movie would have the same effect on people, because there's something about mannequins that's like equally disturbing, because they're supposed to be us, but they're not. They're like, they look like people, but they're not really people. So I feel like if people gave this a chance, it would probably be as notorious as It or something like that, for freaking people out, because there's something inherently scary about that.
Let me ask you this too. Now, I'm not super, I should look this up. Could you see someone doing a full blown remake of Tourist Trap? Or has it already happened?
I can't believe they haven't done it yet. Like, I don't know of one, if there has been one. But to me, that would be like the perfect movie to remake.
I think so too. I think you could update it. And if you, I mean, here's the thing. It depends on who's doing it. But if it's a fan of the original movie and you add a bigger budget onto it and try to have it set around that time period, man, I think that it would work. I think that it would be.
Yeah, because you can tell this movie doesn't have a lot of money behind it. And a lot of the mannequin stuff is practical. And even though it's disturbing, you can clearly see how they did it and everything. It's kind of hokey. So if you had, you know, somebody that put a lot of money into it.
I'm just curious, though, if maybe they did. Somebody already did remake it because of how Charles Band is, and it was just some sort of no budget thing that came out or whatever. But maybe not. Maybe they haven't.
Maybe. I've never heard of it, of a remake of it anyway, like a straight remake. I mean, a bunch of movies have taken parts out of this movie and kind of redid them or stole them, however you want to look at
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But yeah, that is Tourist Trap 1979. It's crazy that that movie was that old, dude. I guess parts of it, but yeah, you would think it was at least what, 84, 85, but no, yeah. 1979.
And I think of all of the lost kind of movies that people don't know about, this might be one of my favorite unknown films.
And it's for sure it's a slasher too. Like some of these.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's just a murder mystery sort of thing. And you could say that for a lot of these movies, but there's for sure some slashing going on in this.
Yeah, he's just running around like it is one funny part about it. It's just Chuck Connors like leaves and comes back like 100 times to comfort these girls and then goes and kills them, comes back. Yeah. There's
it takes he's him like forever to fucking catch yeah. on. Yeah, that he's
yeah. He's like, I'm gonna go find that one girl that was here before, and then you know, another girl will go missing, but oh shit, I gotta go find your two friends. And he just keeps doing this over and over again. It's like, dude, he's clearly killing him.
Leaving and coming back and
yeah.
So we do have a poll going though, which is, and this will be a good one tonight. I think this is going to be a close one tonight. Which is the better of the two movies we're talking about tonight? We've got Tourist Trap versus Pieces, and Pieces is ahead currently. So we'll see.
They're two completely different films, but I'll tell you that Pieces is probably the more directly slasher related for sure.
Lovely Spaniard girls in Pieces.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean the physical media releases, there has still for sure not been a definitive release for Tourist Trap. Hopefully in the next few years we'll see that. But an interesting thing about this next movie that we're talking about tonight, Pieces, is for years and years and years, the only way to get this on disc was on one of those generic, like it was one of those titles that I think it was Diamond Entertainment or whatever. That yeah. was like the budget DVD label. They had Pieces out in like box sets. They had Pieces, the individual Pieces release. I think they had like House by the Cemetery was another one they did. Seven Doors of Death was another one they did. So I don't know if it was like a public domain thing or this was just some sort of low budget DVD company that was releasing these. But for many, many years, I think up until like 2008, when Grindhouse did the first DVD, which I found back there, I've still got it. That was the only way to see this movie.
Did you ever figure out why? Like what happened that the movie didn't have?
I know Grindhouse initially was working on that DVD for years and years, and people were hyped for it big time because this is the first time it was ever remastered or anything. But yeah, I think everybody had that El Cheapo Diamond release back in the day. I couldn't find it, but I'm pretty sure that I bought it because it was one of those that was like $5.88 at Walmart.
Yeah, I definitely remember that one too. I just like to know the story behind how it didn't have like a copyright, or if it did have a copyright, how it wound up with that.
They probably had some sort of loophole where they got it for some sort of version of it for next to nothing or something. I don't know, but This is from 2008, this DVD. And this was a big fucking deal when it came out. It's a two disc. There's all kinds of extra features on it. I think there's a watch along track where you can watch it, where it's screened in the theater back in the day with a crowd or whatever. So it's pretty neat. Grindhouse always did some cool extra stuff like that.
If there was ever a definition of a movie to put on with a group of people just to have a good time, it would be Pieces. Because it's got like all of the basic things that you want in a slasher. There's a kill about every 5 minutes. There's nudity about every 5 minutes. It's like all of the basic pieces that, you know, that we love about slasher films are in here to the 10th degree.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll go ahead and do you want to talk about the plot of this movie a little bit? If there is a plot.
Yeah, I'll talk about the plot of it. Let's go. So little 10-year-old Timmy is putting together a jigsaw puzzle in his room of a naked woman, and you're not allowed to do that. And his mother gives him hell about it.
She's a bushy woman too.
Yeah, she doesn't, you know, he doesn't like that his mother gave him hell. So he hacks her to death with an axe and then kind of dismembers her body. And you fast forward 40 years later, and for some inexplicable fucking reason that I've never understood, but works perfectly, a woman goes through a glass pane panel, and that starts a series of murders on this campus of people just dying one by one. And the guy is kind of dressed in a trench coat and, you know, hat. It's kind of like a giallo.
Looks like a giallo killer, but he has his weapon of choice is a chainsaw. You don't have to go to Texas for a chainsaw massacre.
Yeah.
What an inventive fucking trailer that we just played too, where they were like, we can't show you the scenes in Pieces. Right.
It's too much.
It's too much for you. I just like, there's so many aspects of this movie that crack me the fuck up. Like the kid is so pissed off that his mother interrupted him putting this nudie puzzle together that he just decides to fucking kill her.
Yeah.
You fucking bitch.
I mean, you can't be distracted when you're putting together titties and stuff with a jigsaw puzzle. You got to kill your mom. I made a note, man. I said, this may be the best 10 minutes of any horror film, the best opening 10 minutes of any horror film. In the first 10 minutes of this movie, the kid hacks up his mom with an axe and dismembers her body.
He's like, mom, I'll fuck you.
A woman roller skates into a pane of glass and gets cut to pieces, and a woman gets her head chainsawed off in the first 10 minutes.
And then we get introduced shortly after to Willard the gardener, who's fucking amazing.
Look at amazing. That character, what... And I don't know, I guess that character's in there to be the ultimate red herring.
The reddest herring the world has ever seen.
Ever known, yeah. Paul Smith is a genius in this movie, just trying to creep everybody out. Paul Smith is kind of a unsung hero of films. I don't know how many people,
He's been in a bunch of shit too, yeah.
Yeah, like you may have heard his name but not know who he is, so he's probably like mostly famous for... He was in a Red Sonja as Falcon. He was
the Midnight Express is a movie. He was one of the evil guards, like the main villains in that movie, The Midnight Express.
Yeah.
That was around I think that was in the '70s. So that might've been one of the earlier ones. And then he was in Popeye. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Like he great character roles, I guess.
I think he was, I always get him confused with another dude. I don't think he's the guy from They Call Me Trinity. Although the guy from They Call Me Trinity looks exactly like him.
Right.
But, yeah.
I don't remember him. I mean, that was around that same time, so it's possible, I guess. There's a scene too where like a lot of this stuff is just death scene after death scene. And there's another death scene in a swimming pool.
It's amazing.
Where the fucking killer grabs this girl with a skimmer pole, like they're skimming for fucking flies.
Chokes her out. He doesn't kill her, but he chokes her out enough to where she can't get up. She's like unconscious.
He's like dragging her to the edge of the pool and lifting her out and with the fucking, I'm like, I don't know how that would work, but.
Well, man, there's a scene where he sneaks a full-size fucking chainsaw into an elevator. I was like, what?
Yeah.
He walks into like the tiniest elevator you've ever seen with a chainsaw behind his back, like a full-size chainsaw. And this woman is just completely clueless until he starts it up. And in a great scene, like just hacks off her arm.
There's a lot of just great gratuitous over the top gore scenes in this and gore gags and everything. Edmund Purdom is in this too. Who's, isn't he like the dean of the school or something? Isn't that what he, or the principal or the university he's president?
Some such thing. Yeah, he is. I can't think of
what and he was.
He is Dean Reston. Yeah.
He was the priest in Absurd. So he was in a bunch of.
We just saw him.
Yeah, we just saw him and a bunch of other stuff too. I don't know. He was like one of those. I think he was one of those classic actors from the 50s and 60s that just didn't get many roles. So he did like a lot of around this time period. So he did a lot of stuff in Europe and Spain and all that. So this is another one with him. And Christopher George is also in this as a detective. And the thing that is kind of annoying in this is like all this audio, much like Italian films, has been overdubbed. And Christopher George overdubbed his own voice in this. And dude, you can totally tell. It's almost like he's Casey Kasem on the radio or something, the way he's talking in that microphone. Like, I don't know. They just should have backed him up a little bit because he almost.
I was too busy looking at that girl that was in the pool scene, man. Jesus, God in heaven. I was like, that might be one of the best looking women that's ever been in a horror film. There's so many great death scenes in this movie, though. That's probably why people like it so much, aside from the craziness. It's like it's just one awesome death scene after another.
The end scene, too, is pretty hilarious.
Well, hold on. There's much more to get to before we get to
the end scene. What about the popularity of waterbeds back around that time period? Well, did you ever have a waterbed?
I did. I had a waterbed when I was a kid. Yeah.
I never could stand waterbeds.
I'll tell you something about a waterbed, and they never mentioned this in the ads. Them fucking things leak constantly. If anything gets in them or on them, they'll fucking spring a leak, and then you got to patch them or you'll electrocute yourself. I don't know how the hell those things became as popular as they were, because you could easily die on one of them fucking things.
Yeah, I think throughout the 80s, like, that was a big thing, waterbeds, and then they just kind of went away. You could probably get them. You probably have to special order them now, but that's one thing that nobody ever talks about ever is a waterbed.
No, you never hear that anymore. And there's a whole, like, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, that woman is like, I wrote this down as a quote too, where she's like, the most beautiful thing in the world is smoking pot and fucking on a waterbed. That's an actual quote.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Also, you're not really, I don't think they try to get you to question who the killer is in this, but it's just, who is that little boy grown up? Right, because throughout the movie, you're seeing the killer put the puzzle back together, and this time it's got, you know, the blood and stuff from the murders on the puzzle, and I mean, it's very similar to some other slasher movies around that time frame, but Simon, I don't know how you pronounce it, but whatever else, like he did like. No. He did a bunch of other movies, like Rats was one of his. I think Extraterrestrial Visitors, I think, was one that was his. And there was another one. There's a few that he did.
He didn't do Rats, though. He did Slugs.
Was it Slugs?
Yeah, it was Slugs. Because
who did Rats?
That was Bruno Mattei. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was Slugs that I was thinking of. And then God damn it. What was the other one? There was another one that's, I think, Vinegar Syndrome or one of those companies released that was not very good because I tried watching it, but I don't know.
I don't know either. That guy was, I mean, he didn't have a lot of films, I don't think.
No, this is by far the most well-known of his movies.
I don't even know how the hell you make a film like this, man. I don't know how you even think of the shit in this movie to do, because there's a scene, and we haven't talked about it yet, it's probably one of the most famous scenes in the movie, where this woman is looking around for, you know, following this detective around and looking for around the campus. And I don't know how else to say this, but this Asian gentleman comes up and just starts beating the shit out of her.
What was the deal with that, by the way? I'm like, where the fuck did
that? That's what I'm saying. I don't even know how you think, because it was not any other part of the movie, right? Like, it didn't have anything to do with anything in the movie. This Asian guy comes up and starts fighting her and then just passes out, gets back up, and he's like, I don't know what happened. It must have been some chop suey that I ate. Bye.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Cthulhu Mansion was the other one that he did. I was thinking
Yeah.
It's not very good.
Cthulhu Mansion.
I still need to see Extraterrestrial Visitors. I've never... They say that that's hilarious.
Yeah. Severin put that out, didn't they? I think we need to get that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, this one's a lot of fun. A lot of great gratuitous, you know, blood and guts and stuff. And I think that I had heard that some of those scenes too, where they're using a chainsaw on flesh, that a lot of that was like dead pigs that they used, and pig intestines, and
it looks real. I mean, one thing about this movie is you won't get bored by it, because it's just nonstop, like tits and ass and chainsaws. Like, yeah, somebody's getting killed all the time. And really, like I was saying, like really good death scenes. There's a woman that just gets her head hacked off, gets her arm hacked off, gets her side cut into, like with a chainsaw.
The scene where just the girl gets her arm just and it flops right off, I'm like, holy shit, that actually looked really fucking good.
So they looked really cool too.
They did an amazing job with the effects on this. And it's one of those movies too that it's not an Italian movie, but man, it sure does feel like an Italian horror movie, doesn't it? Along the lines of like a Fulci movie or something.
It's like if Fulci and Sam Raimi made a movie or something, and there was a bunch of gags and shit in a Fulci movie, that'd be kind of like what it was like.
Yeah, I couldn't see too many people not really appreciating Pieces, though. Because this, especially like you were saying earlier, getting that in with a big crowd of people, I mean, that's just a fun night, really.
Yeah, it's almost an impossible movie to hate. Like, do you know anybody that hates Pieces?
No.
Doesn't like it? I don't either. Like, universally, if you're into like schlocky horror films, everybody likes this movie. So, yeah. Yep.
So, I think a lot of people in the chat like it as well.
Oh, I forgot about the ending too, real quick. Not to give away like who the killer was or anything like that. I'm just talking about the main ending of the movie. It has one of the most insane endings I've ever seen. You talk about something that comes out of nowhere, where the guy's just like standing there.
I don't know if anybody really thought about that, but yeah.
Like what? It never ceases to amaze me when I see the ending of that movie. It reminds me a lot of the ending of Macabre too. It's the same kind of like
idea. Like it's a real life Frankenhooker before Frankenhooker.
Yeah.
So yeah. And for some reason they always go for the balls and shit too. I don't know, but it is what it is, man. That ending is out there as well, but I had fun with it. It's a ball buster of an ending for sure, Edward.
Yeah. That ending's out in the road.
So we got the people in the chat, the votes, and pretty handedly, it looks like Pieces is winning this one, 59% to 41%. What do you think of that, Uncle Bill? It's kind of a hard pick for me, but I did pick Pieces.
I think that's right. I think that's probably the best representation. It should be about 60-40, something like that. Because when I was watching both of them, like, I really, really, like, appreciated Tourist Trap and what they were doing. But, like, when I started watching Pieces, I was immediately like, yeah, this is the one for me. Because, like, it's just so fun. You just immediately love that movie from the first 10 minutes on. I mean, they're both classics for different reasons, but Pieces is just a perfect slasher film
for sure. And I was shocked, like, and maybe I wasn't looking close enough, that we had never really done any sort of big show on Pieces or Tourist Trap or review or anything. So I'm glad that we kind of got to talk about them tonight on the Cruel Summer Slashback. And I hope everybody in the chat enjoyed. And we're going to give out a couple more movies we're going to take a look at next week. Now, these are a little off the wall because I was like, well, let's stay in the theme, right? But this is kind of loose. This is just title-based. We're going for evil slashers, Uncle Bill. And you were kind of curious. You're like, what the fuck does that even mean?
I was like, what do you mean, like, evil? So you mean, like, there's evil, demonic, you know, shit in the slashers? And you were like, no.
So we're going to be taking a look. I think both of these are from Vinegar Syndrome. They're both from the mid-80s. So I'm not super familiar with either of these. I think I had seen one of them before, but I don't really remember it, which that's not a good sign. But from 1984, Evil Judgment. In 1986, it's Evil Laugh, which was actually directed by our boy Joey from Friday the 13th, Part 5, which, I mean, we're not really, I don't know if we should talk about him very much because.
I'm fine not talking about him. Have you seen either one of these yet?
I think that I've seen Evil Laugh, but it's been a while. I don't think I've ever seen Evil Judgment.
We won't be having this episode next week, this top episode, I guarantee
you. Well, isn't Evil Judgment supposed to be like a giallo / slasher?
I've seen both of them, and all I can say,
we're in for a treat next week.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I'm interested in it, man, just because from that time period, it is absolutely insane the amount of slasher movies that were made over an 8 to 10 year period there. It's baffling, really. Now, I did hear that Evil Laugh, which we'll talk about it more next week, that it was one that was filmed and was kind of like sitting in the can for a couple of years before it actually came out.
I could see that 100%. Yeah.
But, so that'll be next week. And if you have any suggestions on future Slashback episodes, let us know. We still have a pretty huge back catalog of stuff that we've got, you know, ready and wait for future episodes and years and all that ahead. So Spirit Crusher, he's a big fan of Evil Judgment, he says. But what else we got coming up? I think we're gonna have to do a Dead Pit Is Watching, because I've got a bunch of stuff that I've reviewed. What about you?
Oh, yeah. Did we ever get that other shit in, too?
No, we didn't get the stuff in from Australia, but that should be coming in probably this week. There's a bunch of that stuff. I got Deadly Blessing 4K. I got that in. We got some Asian stuff from, like, Unearthed Films.
Lovely.
And then that Jean-Claude Van Damme 4K that I told you about. But other than that, I don't think we've gotten a whole lot.
Just be on the lookout, I guess, Bulls. I know I've got two coming from Arrow that I still haven't gotten yet, too.
People are getting the student. Did you order student bodies?
No.
I didn't get that. I'm not a big fan of that movie either. Evil Speak. There are other evil movies, but yeah, Evil Speak is not a slasher.
Yeah.
Berserker.
Have we never done Berserker on here?
No.
I thought we did. I'm always thinking we did, but we just talked about these movies.
We could do man beast slashers with like Berserker, and we could do Humongous.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Speaking of beasts. What's going on, Tales from the Video Store? Ashlyn Gear is in Evil Laugh. Oh yes. And it's classic era Ashlyn Gear too. I do not think that we have done Stage Fright as of yet. Right? That's the owl head killer. I don't think we've done that. All right, Bulls. So, anything else we, anybody else got any questions or anything, let us know. And if not, we'll be skedaddling out of here. We're going to be doing a Dead Pit is Watching this week, so stay tuned for that. I've been reviewing a lot of weird Italian shit. Uncle Bill's got him a fresh drink there to sup on. Is that going to be tasty, Uncle Bill?
I can't unmute this. It's just be a dog barking the entire time.
Uncle Bill, here, Uncle Bill's going to take a big drink of that and about, that shit tastes so good.
Wait, one more time. What would I be doing?
You're like, God, it's fresh and cold and crisp. You like that?
That took me out right there.
Oh shit. But all right, guy. Yeah, it's a Slurpee, it looks like, right?
No, it's a like a weird new thing. McDonald's got like a boba tea. But it's not a boba tea, it's like a mango. Mango, baby. Woo! That's what it is.
It's a mango drink. Well, you know what I've got here, just a good old peach. All right, guys. But yeah, I guess that is it. We appreciate everybody tuning in this week. And we'll catch you guys. Remember, next week, it is the evil episode of the Cruel Summer Slashback, Evil Judgment, and the Evil Laugh.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, exclusively on
Dead.com.
Big thanks goes out to our supporters over at Dead Pit on Patreon.com. You can get hours upon hours of great content, right, Uncle Bill?
There's so many hours of content. We've got reviews, we've got songs. We've got live streams. We've got exclusive streams. We've got non-exclusive streams. We've got streams with all kinds of celebrities and all kinds of different old shows from the past podcast, the initial incarnation of the show. All of that can be yours.
Dead Pit on Patreon.com. Show us a little bit of love. Give us some money because we definitely deserve it. That Patreon page is so killer that you'll rub your bird to it on a nightly basis. It's that good.
You won't be able to contain yourself. You'll have to jerk your bird out and go crazy. I mean, that's how much content that we have. So much content that it's massive, and it will massively smack you in the face.
You'll play with your bird so much, pretty soon you'll be looking around for somebody else's bird to play.
Hey, everybody, it's your favorite Filipino bitch, Miss Slatko Bird, telling you about shop.deadpit.com. Simply the best horror shirts on TeePublic. There are others, but they all suck. and it's the best goddamn deal on horror shirts you will ever see. New shirts, old shirts, all the in-between shirts. God damn it, bulls, go over to shop.deadpit.com. You ain't down with that. You can go to fuck.
You don't need to hear things like that. You're just a boy.